Okay, where am I rolling? I'm rolling now.
Yes, live.
Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman. All right, God is good all the time in Hebrew. And here we are again at Soldiers for Christ. This is like a packed house since the March of last year, huh? This is what we call like a capacity crowd. So praise the Lord. It's good to see all of your faces. Good to see everyone. On Wednesday night, when I speak, I will be honoring Dan Mattson, who wrote this book, The End, and was a very good friend of mine since 2006. Before I call up our speaker, Tahira, Minister Tahira, I wanted to comment on her message last week. Because, you know, in the comments, you get all these different ideas and comments about, you know, the message. Thank you, all of the people that got it and said, praise God, you go, sister. Amen. Because that was a dynamic message. And I've listened to it three times since. Because I know when Tahira speak, there's always some manna that you need to really soak in. So I'm just going to tell you what I got out of it, and I'm hoping that you got out of it too. Okay? First of all, I needed to hear your message when I was 17 years old. Because when you first get born again, you don't really know what you're getting into, but God does. And that's what's important. She said something at the beginning last week. She said, you must let God love you. And I don't know if everyone got that, but what she was saying is, let God love you. And God's love is determined towards you when you come to Christ. Okay? When you accept Christ, God is determined about you. And it doesn't, and the third thing was, it says, you're not too big, she said, for God to love you. You're not too big for God. So God says your attitude, your addiction, your slow growth process, he says, you are not too big for God's love. So you have to understand that God is determined to love you, even when you don't feel like you're a worthy Christian, because you were born into righteousness and you can't earn it anyway. The last thing she said that still stuck with me all this week is, you fall out with God and God does not fall out with you.
Praise God.
You understand that? So your little unfaithfulness and you can't do it no more, God is still right there holding your hand while you're walking around pouting. So you have to, when Tahira is speaking, you have to, when you pray today, Amber, pray that the Holy Spirit open the ears so that people can hear the anointing of what God is trying to say. God is faithful and determined to love you. I give you our minister, Tahira Ruffin, and Minister Amber, who's going to pray her in.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that belongs to you.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you, just bound because you are the true Yeshua.
Yes.
Father, you are God in the flesh, and your word became flesh and lived amongst us. Heavenly Father, as you come into this place, let your anointing penetrate the hearts and dissect the minds of the flesh.
Mm.
Father, you are worthy, and I ask of you that you will shipwreck this place.
Hey.
And that you will allow the words to penetrate the hearts and the minds of the people on today.
Hallelujah.
Allow the flesh to decrease. Because you are the great I am. And as you penetrate the hearts and the minds, that everyone is to receive it. Father God, your word will not return to you void. So dispatch your angels.
Yeah.
For you said, I have created the angels to protect my people.
Yeah.
Father, allow your words not to fall on deaf ears. And I command everything that is not like you to be removed out of this place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Father, we welcome you in this place. For you are I am.
Amen.
For you said we will not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from your mouth. Father, I am standing in the gap, believing and trusting every word that you have spoken. shall be revealed.
Yes.
Father, and as we live in these last hours, in these final hours, Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds will worship in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
For nothing else matters in your sight.
Yes.
But that our lives be a living testimony as
Hallelujah.
To who you are. Father, when the Bibles are removed and the music stops, we will only have your word to live on.
Amen.
So I ask you right now in the mighty name of your son, because you have given authority and power for us to call on that name. For every spirit has to bow when it comes to your son's name. So I command every spirit that is not like you to bow in the presence of the Almighty.
Yes.
For we have authority and it is a kingdom right to us. For kingdom has established our name and earth has obeyed.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So I command the earth to be shook by the words to penetrate the hearts that is from your son, Yahshua. In the name of the mighty God, you are. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Lord told me to have Amber pray for me, but that's my battle realm.
Yeah.
That is my warfare part, that. And I want to say this, and I hope you understand. When it comes way since I've ever given a word, I've never given out notes. And I've never explained why. Because it's a relationship that the Lord wants you to go after.
Yeah.
He wants you to go after the word. He wants you to allow the notes or the scriptures or whatever that you take to be your walking ground. You enter in on that relationship and those notes with him. And if you do not take down the note, then what is that saying? What is that saying to him? The Lord and I are very relational, very. And I sit for hours, not to take credit for it, but I sit for hours and we labor, but we have a good time. He wants that experience with his children. He wants it to be yours. He wants you to own it.
Amen.
Yes. And you have to learn how to do this process. You have to learn how to do this process.
Yes. Amen.
So I don't give out notes for that reason, because go after what it is that you want. And I just want to give a little background. I was amazed by the things that Pastor Sandy ministered when I first came to S4C. And I used to know, how did he know all of this? But once you put in the time to labor for a word, there's a respect that you give to a person, because you have no idea the revelation, the books that are spread out everywhere, the hours, the pacing back and forth, the waiting to get understanding. So there's a respect of a labored word that you go for and that you get from the Lord when you sit before him yourself. So he wants that.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we ended with, why are we going over this? So that's where I'm going to pick up. And I'm going to move a little quicker, but try to slow my words down, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The Lord said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. Okay. So now I'm going to go into perspective and perception. All of these steps, I'm saying them, but you're supposed to slow it down and have a conversation with yourself about it. Amen.
Amen.
Perspective, it's a particular attitude of the mind. It's an attitude of the mind. It's a point of view. It's how you see life.
Yeah.
And where you need to ask yourself, where was my perspective cultivated at?
Yeah.
Where did I come into the understanding of the thing that I understand? You know, was it forced? Was it tradition? Was it just what mama did? You know, did I catch it? Was I taught it? Perception. Perception is the conclusion of your perspective. Amen?
Yes.
Our perception is extremely necessary to our advancement in the spirit. Now, I remember when I got a revelation, I came in, I ran in and I told Pastor Ben. I said, I know what in the spirit is. I said, it's in God's spirit.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. But the Lord let me see everything he showed me in the spirit was in his spirit. I don't know what I was thinking. but it's actually his spirit that he is opening up himself and say, look and see what's inside of me. That's seeing in the spirit. So when you see in the spirit, you're literally seeing in God's spirit. He's showing you what's in him. I just thought that was amazing. Yeah. Only truth has the power to set you free. If your perception, meaning the conclusion of your perspective, if your perception is other than God's concerning you, there's a great chance your development has been arrested. And you are in bondage. If you think anything other than what God thinks about you, you are in bondage. Yeah. Because remember, last word, he's absolute. And if you don't know what the Lord says about a thing, you are in bondage. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 9:29 says, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. So if you are believing in a lie, be done unto you.
Wow.
If you believe that you will not be moved forward, it will be done unto you.
Right.
If you believe that all of your needs have been provided according to the riches and glory of Christ Jesus, it will be done unto you. Government. The warfare that was waged against Adam, the first Adam, was a legal matter. Understand this. If you really have not grasped that there's a whole nother world that actually governs this world, what is your perspective and your relation unto the Bible and what God is saying?
Right. Yes.
Because there's a government that actually governs this world. Like the heavenly government actually governs this world. Amen?
Amen.
So it was a legal matter concerning the government of the kingdom and the word of law. That was the warfare that was waged on the first Adam. Don't forget, the word of a king is legally binding.
Yes.
I'm going to read Hebrews 24 through 28. Hebrews 24 through 28. Hebrews 9:24 through 28. For the Messiah did not enter into the heavenly tabernacle made by men. You hear that? The heavenly tabernacle. Mm-hmm. He's showing you the government. He's showing you it exists. Be present in the word. Which was put, made by men, which was but an echo of the true sanctuary, but he entered into heaven itself to appear before the face of God in our place. Under the old system, year after year, the high priest entered the most holy sanctuary with blood. That was not his own. But the Messiah did not need to repeatedly offer himself year after year, for that would mean he must suffer repeatedly ever since the fall of the world. But now he has appeared at the fulfillment of the age to abolish sin. Please see this without the S. This is going to get so juicy. Sin once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. Every human being is appointed to die once and then to face God's judgment. But when we die, we will be face to face with Christ, the one who experienced death. Hear it. If you are trying to die, you're backwards. You're supposed to be trying to live.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But if you're trying to get some, okay. Who experienced death once for all to bear the sins, now with an S, of many. And now to those who eagerly await him, he will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to bring a word.
Amen.
What is your relationship with the word? But when he means the word, he means the written word. He means the spirit.
Yeah.
He means the Christ.
Yeah.
What is your relationship? How do you relate to the word? Mm-hmm. Is it a Sunday thing? Mm-hmm. Is it your life? He's asking you questions for you to ask yourself. What is your relationship with the word? Do you have a relationship? Did you know there was a relationship with the word? Does that even make sense? Is that familiar? Mm-hmm. Let the Holy Spirit be present while you ask yourself.
Amen.
There is a big difference between sin and sins. When the Bible talks about sin, it's talking about the source of the evil entity that was imparted in the heart of man and mutated his heart and changed his nature. Sin changes you. It changes your nature. It changed his nature. Sins, actions and thoughts and other things that stem from the source of sin. You guys got that?
Yeah.
Here we go. This was good. Double jeopardy. This ain't nothing but God. Is a procedural defense that prevents an accused person from being tried again on the same charges following an acquittal.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the same jurisdiction, but this jurisdiction we're talking about that's at hand is heaven. Didn't it say that the Lord already entered the tabernacle and he died once? So that means those who are appointed to die once cannot experience double jeopardy.
Right.
But if you are continuing to try to die, you haven't received that you are dead.
Right.
And so you are supposed to be trying to live, and you cannot be charged again with the same crime. It is tetelestai.
Amen.
It is finished. Romans 5, 12 through 21. This comes out of the NIV. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through the first Adam, and death through sin, in this way death came to all people because all sinned.
Mm-hmm.
To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. So the Lord wanted everyone to be under the law. So when Jesus died, he died for everybody,
yeah,
whether you know it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of the first Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as Adam did, the first one, who is a pattern of the one to come.
Yes.
Pause. Adam is a pattern. Just like the tabernacle built on earth is a pattern. So that means that there is a real one. Now, the Lord told me, I understand pattern. Hear this. I was a fashion design student. And if you are a good fashion designer, you don't use your pretty fabric yet. You pull out the paper and you get this thing called muslin, and you make up all your mistakes on the muslin. And then once you have the pattern, you cut out your pattern on your pretty paper or your pretty fabric. So if Adam was a pattern, who's the pretty fabric?
Wow.
So when you think that Adam was the point from Genesis, this is not true. He is a pattern. So that means all of those who were cut from the first Adam, you are a pattern of the one to come if you let God finish you.
Wow. Amen.
So you're not even done. You're not done. The Lord said, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. But if you don't choose him to come into your heart, you never enter that scripture.
Right.
So you never start being made in his image and in his likeness as the pattern.
Right.
Amen. The first Adam was not the point, just a pattern.
Amen.
Here we go. But the gift, picking up from the Romans, but the gift is not like the trespass. Quit comparing the two.
Right.
For if the many died already, they're dead, we're dead, died by the trespass of the first Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by grace of the last Adam, who is Yahshua the Mashiach, mm-hmm, overflow to the many. This is done. Do you guys hear this is written in past tense?
Yes.
Nor can the gift. So the Lord said, so I'm not surprised. I said, do you hear it written in past tense? He said, so I'm not surprised. Because he already did it. That's right. What he just said. And then Pastor Ben laughed. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the results of the first Adam. Adam's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. Pause. Didn't it say that one, that man is appointed to die once?
Right.
Okay. The one sin came in and then the judgment. The condemnation came in. Did the one man die? But he died for everybody. Okay, this is just going to get so good. He said, here we go. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the first Adam's death, through the last Adam, how much more will we receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the last Adam, who is Yahshua the Mashiach? Check this out. It said that death reigned. Reigned is a kingdom word. That means death thought it was king. Okay? Here are these things. It just thought it was king. But then here we got grace. How? Then it says, God's the provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign. That's a different king.
Yeah.
So we got kings going to battle, or one who thinks he's a king, but the kings.
Right.
Not the body. It's kings.
Right.
So let's pause real quick and talk about grace. It's been said grace is the unmerited favor of God toward man. But how is this a complete truth when the scripture clearly says, Luke 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor or grace with God and man? Grace is explained as unmerited favor towards men. But how did Jesus have it and he's all deserving?
Yeah.
So let's define grace. This is the way that the Lord explained it to me. Grace is God himself. Remember when he told the Levites that you don't get an inheritance like the rest of those, but I'm your portion? You cannot separate God from absolutely any attribute of his, whether it's grace, whether it's favor, whether it is life, whether it's water, whether it's bread. It's always him himself. So he imparts through himself what it is that you need. So God is grace himself. But let's explain, let's define what I'm talking about. So Jesus grew from the empowering presence of God in his inner being, which can be called the grace and the favor of God. God is the Father of Jesus. This is why it's unmerited just given to Jesus, because it's his Father. It's him himself. God is grace himself. And it's his Father. Okay, he's not our Father at this time. But he's Jesus's Father.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying, Pastor Sandy? Jesus was born with God in him. Remember, the first Adam was not created with the Holy Spirit in him? But Jesus is born this way.
Yes.
Here are these breadcrumbs. When I said I need you to understand what's different with the second Adam. Jesus was born with God in him. Since we are cut from the cloth of Jesus, we receive all of who he is. God within us is a gift or unmerited favor. So this is how Jesus had the favor, but it's his Father. It's his Father himself. And so it's God himself who is the grace. But since we are cut from Jesus, he now becomes a gift to us. But it's not unmerited, like you don't deserve. He wanted to. This is God's plan. He wanted to. So he wanted to give this favor, but you receive it as favor from my Son. Amen. We receive all who he is. God within us is a gift from Jesus. Now we have received God's grace or favor, which is God's presence empowering us from within. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Hello. Do we get it? Amen. Here's the high standard, though. You ready for a high standard?
Go ahead.
ahead. Here's the high standard. God is not within for you to continue to live in sin. Now, when we thought grace was something you could just pick like a tree and God's giving me grace, now you understand he is within you. He is within you, empowering you to come out of sin. So the high standard is, if that is your choice to live in sin, hear it, here's the mandate, you will be left behind. You will. He doesn't have to leave you for you to be left behind. I moved in and you still didn't. I'm empowering you.
Yes.
I'm empowering you to will and to do of my good pleasure. People think that if they have grace, it gives them space to sin. No, God, I'm God. I'm grace. I didn't move in to give you space to sin.
Amen.
Now, that's a higher standard, though. You probably would have wished that you would have understood grace the way that you did before. I did not move in to give you space to sin. So now,
amen,
that I'm in here, if you choose to insist, you're going to be left behind. Why? Because you insisted to be left behind. You insisted that God leave you here. He couldn't even move in and get you ready.
Wow.
Please continue to read the rest of Romans 12 through 21 from the NIV. I'm going to give you some more homework because we got to get into this. It's Leviticus 16, 15 through 16, and then 18 through 19. We're going to talk about some goats, y'all.
Yes.
The first goat, now I'm going to explain to you what these first scriptures are. It's talking about the first goat, but I'm going to give you the outcome, but you read it. The first goat, God's instructions intentionally left out the laying on of hands to transfer sin. To this goat, the first goat is simply killed. The point is, its blood did not testify of sin. Its blood cleansed the objects nearest to God. That's what that goat was for. So tainted blood cannot sanctify the things of God. Now understand, all of these are shadows. So if you think that Jesus is just a man and all of the things of God are in heaven, what man can make it to heaven, take untainted blood, and clean the actual sanctuary? A man couldn't do it. Amen. Now, Leviticus 16, 21 through 22, the second goat. Now we're talking about the priest here. These are the instructions. He will lay both of his hands on the goat's head and confess over it all the wickedness, rebellion, and sins of the people of Israel. In this way, he will transfer.
Yes.
You need to see how you died. There was a transfer that took place.
Yes.
The transfer the people sins to the head of the goat. Then a specially chosen man. He doesn't have any.
Yes.
Specially chosen man for this task will drive the goat into the wilderness. As the goat go the wilderness, it will carry all of the people's sins upon itself into a desolate land. Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going.
Go ahead.
How we died in Christ. Here we go. The laying on of hand. Okay. The Lord told me to. Yeah. Is this where it's at, Lord? Hold on. No. Not yet. The laying on of hands symbolized the transfer of all the sins of the people onto the innocent animal. Here we go. Notice this as well. The hands were specifically placed on the head of the animal. The Lord asked me, now I'm telling you, he asked me, do you know why this is? I said, no, Lord, I don't know why this is. He said, because he holds the head responsible for the condition of the body.
Yes.
I didn't know that. So even the hands on the goat are being laid on the head because you did this. You did this, Adam. You did this. You put your body in this condition. So, okay. The first Adam committed a crime and his body fell. The last Adam is willing to pay the price for the first Adam and his body, which consists of all the people in the world. This also establishes the last Adam on earth as the new head and king of all. Okay? Also notice, only a priest could administer the ceremonies and apply the blood. So that means Jesus must be a priest, right? Two goats, one offering. Jesus fulfills it perfectly. Here we go. Isaiah 53. Did you guys hear that?
Yes.
The Lord just asked me, did you hear that? This is where Jesus has established the new head.
Yes.
When he takes on the crime of the old head and all their sins, all of that is put on his head. He's willing to carry that, and it establishes him as the new head.
Mm.
Okay? Isaiah 53, 11 and 12 says, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he, Jesus, will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he, who, Jesus, shall divide the spoil with the strong. Pause. What are the spoils? The spoils are the goods gathered from the enemy after he is defeated.
Mm.
So he's going to take what he fights the fight, and then he's going to divide the spoils. So I'm the king. I'm going to fight the fight, and then I'm going to pass out my goods among you. The Lord said he's going to give Jesus some of his, and then Jesus is going to take what God gave him and give it with us and from the spoils. So this is how you get your stuff.
Right. Yeah. Mm.
Because he, Jesus, was numbered with the transgressors, and he, Jesus, bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Leviticus 17 and 11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Blood symbolizes life itself, the nature of the creation, the habits, the sin, the disease, the propensities, the dispositions, the traditions, the gifts, the talents, the inheritance, the heritage, the wealth, and the culture. We call that identity. That's how the Lord sees it. All of that is in your blood. When you want to find out who somebody is, what you check? They DNA. Give me their blood. Let me see what's going on with you. Let me see. Is this dog blood? Is this human blood? You check the blood. The blood has all that information in it. Okay? Identity is in the blood. All of this is in the blood, and this is considered the life of the soul. Are you guys getting that?
Okay.
So all that's in the blood is considered the life of a soul. And the Lord said in Leviticus 17 and 11 also states, God has given this blood for us to make atonement for our sins. Now I'm talking about in Leviticus, but if we know that that's a shadow, who gave blood to make atonement for our sins? And what's so special about his blood anyway, if he's just a man?
Amen.
Mark 14, 45 through 46 says, as soon as he had come, we're talking about Judas, immediately he went up to him and said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, and he kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. You see the first laying of hands? Did you see that? They laid their hands on him and they took him. But what's starting to take place? The transfer.
I got you.
That's a good student. Come on now. Then, as you continue to read, Jesus is beat, hit, and spat on. The divinely ordained transfer has begun.
Mm.
This is when you're starting. This is your death. You're seeing your death being transferred to the innocent animal, or with Christ, an innocent soul.
Yes.
Okay. Mark 15, 6 through 25. Please continue to read this, but it continues in detail with the transferring of sin. This is where you die.
Yeah.
This is where you need to see where you died so you can quit trying to die. This is where you're, okay? As the sins of the world were laid upon the innocent soul of Jesus, he's paying for souls.
Yes. Yeah.
Understand this, souls, the people, where the personality is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His innocent. Understand this. We're talking about a soul that has never known sin or experiential. He doesn't know it. I'm gonna give you something graphic. When somebody was murdered and the outcomes of the murder and all of that, that laid on his innocent soul. It laid on his soul. When somebody was beaten, taken advantage of, robbed, raped, whatever, it's laying on a soul that has never experienced these things for the whole entire world. So this is agony. If you are running up to the altar to pray, have Pastor Ben to pray for you to get whatever you did that was big off for you, okay, when you could do it yourself because you don't understand you're a new creation.
Right.
Everything Hitler did, everything Genghis Khan did, yep. Everything Cain did, everything, because he had to die for them too,
yes.
Laid on him all at one time.
Yes.
And the pain of it and the results of it, the rapes, the beatings, the molestations. I need you to get into it. We avoid, put yourself in that position so you can put some respect on his name.
Yes.
I should not have to ask you to stand for somebody who took this for you.
Yes.
Put some respect on his name. Allow yourself to visually see. And when he hung on the cross,
yes.
Do you not understand that he hung there naked?
Yes.
He didn't have no clothes on.
Yeah.
So for all of us who have been exposed, and uncovered,
yeah.
And treated some kind of way. We're talking about the Son of God hung on the cross with no clothes on.
Yeah.
With every sin that the entire world had ever committed for you.
Yeah.
And you let people tell you God don't want you. If that ain't love.
Amen.
If that ain't love. If you can't respect that and get away from religion,
amen.
Come on, he did this.
Amen.
He did, and he did it willingly.
Because
you needed help.
Yes.
You needed help. And he didn't want you to go to hell. Come on now.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Put some respect on his name. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Him who did not know sin, he made. Now check this out, the other part of the Godhead, because you know they won.
Right.
His father, it pleased him to crush his son, to have him stand on a cross, on a cross, butt naked, holding everybody's sin. It pleased him. If you don't understand your love, you have to let God love you.
Yeah.
Mm. He who did not know sin, he was made sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Pause.
Yeah.
Understand this. Christ did not know sin in an experiential way, by contact or personal experience. Christ became a man in the flesh. He was made sin, not sinful.
Right.
He was made sin on our behalf to be judged by God, that we might become God's righteousness in him. The first sign of the new creation. Only they could do it.
Yes. Yes.
Remember, righteousness is the main fundamental need of the fallen creation from the first part of the word.
Yeah.
So they had to establish it just like I gave it out.
Yeah. Amen.
Is there some water? Send some water. The life of the soul is in the blood. What was in the blood of Jesus? The very life of God. God himself, all of what encompasses God was in the blood of Christ. The very life of God. The blood of Christ not only redeems, it sanctifies, it purifies, it also speaks.
Yeah.
The blood speaks to God for forgiveness, justification, reconciliation.
Yes.
Blood is talking.
Yes.
He spilled his own blood so it could talk to him from earth.
Woo!
He spilled his own blood so it could talk to him
yes.
from earth. And what it says is, forgiveness, justification, reconciliation, and redemption. In addition to this, the blood speaks on our behalf, saying, the new covenant, which is eternal, has been applied.
Yeah.
And that according to God's own word, he will give himself and all his blessings to the believers in Christ who receive this covenant by faith. Pause. The Lord pointed out to me, though, this is not a sinner's prayer. You believe in to Christ.
Amen.
You believe in to him, not believe in him. You believe into him.
Yes.
So this covenant is for those who believe into him,
yes,
not on the outside. Let's get this thing clear. While we're so fascinated with the theologies and the doctrines and this and that of God, I'm going to ask you this. Are you in Christ? Are you ready for the rapture? Mm-hmm. Because what I said last time is the Lord who is coming to get those who are Christ.
Yes.
The Lord just told me something about presumption. When they sat around the table and the Lord said, there is one who is sitting around this table who is going to betray me. Do you know none of them never thought that they were so in with God that they didn't presume it was them?
Yeah.
They all said, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? And they knew Christ. It doesn't matter if you know about the rapture.
Right.
Don't presume you're going if you're not in Christ. You don't even have to be in sin. You just ain't in Christ. Because let me tell you how he's judging that thing.
Uh-huh.
The believers in Christ means you are organically part of him. And you know, you're not trying to figure it out.
Right.
Because you know if you're married or not.
Right. Thank you.
You okay, even if you don't like your marriage.
You know.
You really know you married because you don't even like this. The believers in Christ means you are organically part of him, becoming more like him in your soul. Now here goes the high standard, by bearing fruit.
Come on.
Trees don't tell you they're bearing fruit. It's those that pick from the tree.
Oh, wow.
So you don't get to say, because everybody's going to say I'm bearing fruit because you ain't leaving me behind.
Right.
But what did the Lord do when he walked up to the fig tree? You look like he was bearing fruit, but curse you.
Yeah.
You'll never rise again.
Wow.
So you don't even get to say if you're bearing fruit. And let me tell you this. You usually bear fruit when you're going through, so you really don't know. All hell is breaking loose in your life, and you got people saying, you're just growing so good. Man, get off me. My life is falling apart. I think I'm dying. And you want to talk about, oh, you're just growing? I'm telling you what I know. Yeah. So you don't really even know that you're growing.
Right.
That's the part. The believers in Christ means you are organically part of him, becoming more like him in your soul by bearing fruit. This is the blood given to us to make atonement for our souls. This is the blood that was given. This is what was in the blood of Christ. Now here goes the cross. Satan was defeated on the cross. Colossians 2 and 13. This is not only reality, it's facts. Listen. And you, though dead in your offenses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive. Come on, you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Amen.
He made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our offenses. Satan is destroyed forever at the cross. Jesus deprived Satan of his main weapon, which is guilt. Hear this, because
yes,
Jesus was acquitted.
Yes.
Only one man had to die for all the body.
That's right.
At the cross, Jesus dealt with our guilt in two ways. Number one, the cross provided forgiveness for all our sins. That includes our past sins. Number two, at the cross, God canceled the written code because Satan used to hold that against us. They
right.
can't keep the law. They can't do this. You can't do that.
Right.
You can't do this.
Right.
God canceled the written code, which was the law with its regulations, for it was against us. Why? Because we were unable to keep its demands.
Mm-hmm.
This being the case, We were unable to reach God, couldn't pick no fruit. Jesus died for us. He paid the final penalty. We are acquitted. Oh, come on. For all who had broken the law, death once, the final penalty was paid. We are no longer subjects of to the written code. We are no longer required to observe the law as means of to acquire righteousness with God. Instead, we come to God on the basis of our faith in Jesus, and our faith is credited to us as righteousness.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Pause. Hear this. You don't even have faith in your own faith. You have faith in Christ's faith.
Right.
That he did what needed to be done to appease his Father. So now when you're having faith for something, you have faith in Christ's faith that dad gonna give it to him and you get the fringe benefit.
Uh-huh.
You're the benefactor.
Yeah.
I know daddy gonna give him some light bill money.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna pay my life with it.
Right.
I know daddy gonna give him whatever it is. I know daddy gonna give him healing.
Yes.
And I'm gonna benefit from
yes.
it. That's how that relationship goes. He is our benefactor, but we put some respect on his name because he's the king.
Yes.
But in the kingdom, that's how everything works. Understand this. There is no you get a job and I give you paycheck. It comes from God. Faith is the currency.
Yeah.
But you have faith in Christ's faith. If you are having faith for healing, you have faith in Christ's faith that he gave me healing. Not you have faith in your faith. Because why? He's the author and the finisher of your faith.
Yes.
He's the author.
Yes.
And he finished it.
Yes.
And then he gave it to you. And he said, you have faith in me that what I did was sufficient.
Yes.
Come on.
Woo!
When I figured that out, that was a relief.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because it's hard to have faith and you don't know if the Lord happy with me. No, the Lord's happy with me because he is happy with Christ.
Right.
It's easier that way.
Yeah, it is.
The sin nature is destroyed and all our sins are forgiven. Now understand, I want you to know who the you are when you died. Sin, the nature of a thing, establishes what the creation is. When Christ had all the sins put on him, he literally became sin. The nature from the sins made his soul sin itself.
Mm-hmm.
When that hung on the cross, the nature of the fallen creation died.
Yes.
That's where you died.
Yes.
When the sin nature, because see, when I was looking, Lord, where did I die? I don't see a picture of me in the Bible. No, it may sound real ignorant, but that's what I was looking for me. But the Lord said it's nature that establishes a creation. So when the sin nature died, you died.
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
So you're dead.
Yes.
Guaranteed, you're dead. So what do you have now? You have sin habit.
Mm.
Because you're born again in the spirit. But your soul isn't born again. It has to be sanctified. And the old conscious awareness is sin habits that came from the nature of sin that your soul learned how to do. So now it needs to be washed with the water of the word.
Right,
so the Lord is not working on your sin habit. He's training you in ways of righteousness.
Yeah.
He's not going to address your sin.
Amen.
So if you're coming, oh, my God, I'm angry. Well, I'm going to teach you peace. You have to understand he's not going to address your anger management classes. Who manages anger?
Yeah. Right. Amen.
He said, I don't want it. I'm doing away with it. I'm going to teach you a new habit. Anytime you're trying to establish a new habit, they don't tell you to go to a class and manage it. You replace it with another one. So he's training you in ways of righteousness. So he's not sin conscious like you're sin conscious.
Uh-huh.
But your sin consciousness, you're so aware of it because you're not being raised in the ways of righteousness, a.k.a. you're not being sanctified.
Right. Amen. 15 minutes left.
Oh, let's go. In fact, Mark 3 and 27. In fact, no one can enter. Here it goes. This is to clarify what I said. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. He killed the sin nature. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Mark 3:28. Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sin and every slander they utter. The new creation, here we are. The last Adam and the new creation. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Now understand this, women, you guys have had babies. Fathers, you guys have been present, y'all who could make it, okay? When the head comes through the canal, guess what that's called? Crowning.
Yes.
Jesus was crowned when he was raised out of the dead, okay?
Yes.
And there's a guarantee the body's going to come through.
Yes.
So if the head makes it through, the body is part of the head.
Yes.
The body gets everything that the head does.
Yes.
It's not separate. You get it when you put something in your mouth, your stomach receives it.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to look at this way. So every victory Jesus has, you have because you're his body.
Yes.
When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, a completely different Adam came out. First, he was an Adam. But he was an Adam. He wasn't created as an Adam. He is an Adam. So that means all his body is Adam, okay? He's no longer human. Okay, here we go. Remember, the main identifying mark of an Adam is a living spirit. The last Adam had been in a war with Satan and was victorious.
Mm-hmm.
The body gets that too.
Yeah.
He was more than a conqueror. He was the eternal king who could not and would not die again. You will not and cannot die again.
Amen.
He had defeated death, hell, and the grave. Not only that, he now held the keys. Your head has the key. You have the keys. Don't stand outside the door and you got the keys.
Right.
The last Adam is also priest and prophet. Priest and prophet. I'm telling you who you are. Remember we said you're nothing like the first Adam?
Right.
I'm telling you who you are now. Okay? Priest and prophet. The last Adam was established established a new bloodline, a new culture, a new heritage. The last Adam is a life-giving spirit. So you have a new culture, you have a new bloodline, and you have a new heritage. You hear that? The last Adam is a life-giving spirit. So you have the spirit of life. The last Adam rules both realms.
Mm.
He's the king on both realms. That means his body reigns in both realms,
yeah.
Has authority in both realms.
Yes.
The seen and the unseen, all of this plus so much more, permanently dwells in the last Adam. The last Adam is also the victory of God and victory in man, residing in one spirit and in one body.
Wow.
It's done. Do you guys get that?
Yes.
That's bomb. Now, when the spirit comes to indwell you, you receive an all-inclusive spirit. This is why the spirit wasn't in the first Adam, because he hadn't went through some stuff, because he knew about Adam.
Right.
So if I wanted to establish my new creation in the thing, I have to go through it first. Why? Because he became the change he wanted to see. He became the change he wanted to see. Why? Because you become as you behold.
Yeah. Amen.
He said, you look in the Bible, seeing what kind of man you are, you close it up and you forget.
Yep.
Who are you supposed to be seeing? You're supposed to be seeing Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, when the Spirit comes to indwell you, you receive an all-inclusive spirit. Jesus gave his body a finished work. It's a finished work. Now he's training you how to walk out what he finished.
Yes.
It has not a spot or a wrinkle. How many of you are trying to get rid of spots and wrinkles? If you just let the Lord train you in the ways of righteousness, that iron it out.
Amen.
Colossians 1:27. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just about finished. Before his incarnation, listen, now this is where I break down what actually is going on with you now. Before his incarnation, Yahshua, the divine one, already was the Son of God. Through natural birth, because he wanted his children to be born, so he had to do it first.
Yes.
Not created, he wanted them to be born, because they're born this way.
Right.
Natural birth, he put on the element, the human flesh, which had nothing to do with divinity. This part needed to be sanctified and uplifted. You know, what is it, Lord, who, Pastor Sandy, who always lifts up on the camel? What's his name? Eleazar.
Yeah.
When he lift Rebecca on the camel, the Lord put on the human flesh so he could lift it up.
Yes.
Sanctified and lifted up by passing through death and resurrection. Also through resurrection, the human nature was sanctified, uplifted, and transformed. By resurrection, he was declared the Son of God with his humanity. As the Son of God, he organically possesses humanity as well as divinity forever. Yahshua brought God into man by resurrection. He also brought his humanity into divine sonship. In this way, the only begotten Son is now the firstborn Son of God. Now, with Christ, the firstborn Son, as the producer and the finished work, many sons will be born from Christ in the image and the likeness of God. For those who believed into his Son and received the right to be called the sons of God. Here goes all of the scriptures for what I just read. I'm gonna give them to you fast. John 1 and 18, Romans 8 and 3, Acts 13 and 33, Hebrews 1 and 5, Romans 8, 29 through 30. Here's the last little bit. This is a message from the Lord. And then I'm finished. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with the light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. We're the only thing that the Lord gets out of this earth.
Amen.
We're it. He's looking forward to his inheritance. You're an inheritance to God.
Yes.
It's all he gets. Matter of fact, he don't want nothing else.
Right.
You're his portion.
Wow.
Thank you. We are his portion.
Yes.
Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life to mine. Learn my way, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, I'm humble, I'm easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Do you believe what God believes about you now?
Mm.
Then he told me to say, Tetelestai, it is finished.
Amen.
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 All right.